This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Martin Gallivan is an archaeologist at the College of William and Mary. Martin, you with us?
I am.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us. I really appreciate it. I've really been looking forward to talking to you.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it as well.
I guess the best place to start is, you know, the nation has been looking not only at, well, I guess the world has been looking at the work that Bill Kelso and his team have been doing at Jamestown with discovering the original 1607 fort of the English colonists. But now the world is looking at some of the work you're doing a river away on the York River on the other side of the peninsula. So tell us what's going on up there.
Well, first of all, the name of the site I've been studying is Werowocomoco. It's difficult to say. It's Werowocomoco. It is a Powhatan village that enters history about the same time the Jamestown settlement does in 1607. It's the residence of Chief Powhatan, who's the leader of the Powhatan Indians, the group that surrounds the Jamestown colony. It's also the scene of several important events early in the colonial history. This is the place where John Smith was brought after he was captured by the Powhatans and brought to Werowocomoco, really to face the leader of that community of Indians. So it's a place of importance to Native societies. It's a place of importance to early colonial history. And it's a place that's more or less been forgotten or left out of the historical record until fairly recently.
And, of course, Martin Gallivan is our guest, archaeologist at the College of William & Mary. Of course, this was the capital of this, well, you describe it, Martin, it's a federation of tribes, right?
Sure. It's the capital of the Powhatan chiefdom. The term we archaeologists typically use is chiefdom to describe this big, sprawling political organization that spread across all of Tidewater, Virginia. It was centered on Werowocomoco and centered on the person of Powhatan, otherwise known as Wahun Sunaka. He has several names. Most people know him by Powhatan. But he was a particularly powerful individual in 1607. He wasn't actually born at Werowocomoco. He was born on the James River in what was called the village of Powhatan, not too far from what's today Richmond. He moved to Werowocomoco sometime before 1607 as he expanded his reach and his political authority over many different Algonquian-speaking groups throughout Tidewater, Virginia. So that by the time the Jamestown colonists show up in 1607, we've got this vast chiefdom centered on Werowocomoco, the individual Powhatan, controlling as many as 15,000 Algonquian-speaking Indians from what's today I-95 or the Fall Line all the way to the Eastern Shore and from just south of the James all the way up to the Potomac River. So he was a powerful individual who controlled the field of affairs throughout that region, received tribute from many thousands of Native communities in that area, and was expanding his authority at the time the Jamestown colonists step into the history of the region.
How big is this village, Werowocomoco, is it?
Werowocomoco, that's right. It's about 40 acres in size. It's located on the north bank of the York River. It's basically across from the farm or Camp Perry, which is now a military installation.
That's where the spooks are.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't want to get in trouble with the CIA, so I was trying to avoid saying that, but that's absolutely right. It's about 50 acres in size. It's elevated about 15 feet above the York River. Great place to live today. Would have been a great place to live in 1607. Easy access to freshwater springs. There's marshes nearby where you can gather wild plants and hunt animals. There's ready access to a string of Algonquian villages all along the York River. And it's also more or less central to the Tidewater region. So we began excavating the village in about 2003. We've really only scratched the surface of a big, sprawling community. We've understood some aspects of the village, but we've still got a lot more to learn.
We're talking with Martin Gallivan, an archaeologist at the College of William & Mary, who has recently discovered the chief village site of the Powhatan Federation of Tribes. Martin, I find it surprising that, well, it's sort of like the Jamestown site. You know, Bill Kelso and his team only recently discovered the fort. It had been just laying there for hundreds of years, and nobody knew it was there. All the experts thought that it had long been since washed out by the James River. So you come along. It's surprising that this fort, this village site as well, as big as it is, has just been laying under the subsoil all these years.
Yes. In some ways, the story does parallel the Jamestown story. For Jamestown, of course, the assumption was the village was underneath the river. For Wewakamacco, historians and archaeologists and some geographers had long expected that, postulated that the location of Wewakamacco was somewhere in the vicinity of Purton Bay, which is where we're excavating these days. They'd looked at early historic maps, they'd looked at descriptions of Wewakamacco's location, and they thought, you know, it's probably in the vicinity of Purton Bay. Don't know exactly where it was, where it is. And actually, a few archaeologists have even taken a look at the place. Back in the 1970s, an archaeologist named Dan Maurer did some survey there, found some Indian materials, and thought, you know, this is the likely location of Wewakamacco, and even put that out there in writing. But really, the time wasn't right because there wasn't a lot of archaeology done on native sites in the region. There wasn't a lot of focus on this history, and it really didn't become a topic of focus until 2003, when I joined with other members of what we call the Wewakamacco Research Group, which consists of a colleague of mine at William & Mary, also Randy Turner of the Virginia Department of Historic Resources, and two archaeologists from the local Fairfield Foundation, Dave Brown and Thane Harpole. We all got together and realized that this was the likely location of Wewakamacco, and we got together and organized a project to study the site, and we've been doing so ever since 2003.
We're talking with archaeologist Martin Gallivan of the College of William & Mary and a graduate of the University of Virginia. Martin, tell us about some of the interesting finds that you and your team have dug up there on the York River.
Sure, happy to. The first thing that we started to do when we began to investigate the site in 2003 is to take in all 40 acres of it. It's a huge site. It's sprawling, much, much larger than Jamestown. In fact, Jamestown would fit in one little corner of Wewakamacco. And we began to try to understand how the Indians arrayed themselves across that big space by doing a survey of the entire property. This was done by my colleagues Dave Brown and Thane Harpole. They did a fantastic job and allowed us to hone in our excavations really on two different parts of the site. We excavated an area along the riverfront and realized that was essentially the residential core of the community. That's where most people were living, in houses. They were farming corn, beans, and squash, building various structures along the riverfront there. And then the second area of the site is located roughly 1,000 feet back from that and separated by a distance in which there's really no artifacts or no evidence of lifeways, human lifeways. And it's that area of the site that we've been focusing on more recently. We've got evidence of a series of ditch enclosures, which, to the best that we can understand, are defining a ceremonial space or a sacred space within the interior of the village. When John Smith describes Wewakamacco, he describes Powhatan's house as located 30 score from the riverfront. Score is 20, so that's 600, probably 600 paces. If you take 600 paces from the riverfront at Purton Bay, you come to the center of this series of ditch enclosures. So we put together that historical evidence with the archaeological evidence, and we've begun to interpret this space as a special space associated with ceremony, associated with elite leadership of the Powhatans, and very different from the residential core of the community located on the riverfront. So it's a big, sprawling, complicated space that we've begun to make sense of, and begun to incorporate the historical record and the archaeological record to try to understand that space a little better.
My guest is Martin Gallivan, an archaeologist at the College of William & Mary. Martin, tell us, now, Disney can't be right. What actually happened when John Smith was taken there, and what's the name of the girl again that he supposedly had the love affair with and saved his life?
Pocahontas,
right.
Absolutely, yeah.
What do archaeologists and anthropologists and historians believe really might have happened?
Well, there's actually a lot of disagreement among historians and anthropologists and ethnohistorians, those who study the early Jamestown documents to try to understand native lifeways. A number of folks have pointed out that this story looks as if John Smith made it up. We have John Smith arriving in the Jamestown colony, exploring in the interior reaches of the colony, taken captive by Opecancanu, the brother of the paramount chief Powhatan, brought to Werowocomoco, where he's threatened with death, and at an opportune moment, the chief's daughter, Pocahontas, intervenes, saving John Smith's life. Some folks have suggested that he probably made that up. He embellished the story elsewhere. This looks as if it's that same sort of thing. Other anthropologists have looked and said, you know what, this event has a ring of veracity to it. There might be some truth to this story, and it might have been essentially an event staged by Powhatan in order to, well, first of all, scare the pants off of John Smith, and second of all, to impress upon him that he was being incorporated into the Powhatan community as a Powhatan. Essentially, he's being adopted through this ritual event in which there's two options. Either he's going to be killed by the Powhatans or incorporated into the community. I actually think that that latter interpretation sounds more plausible to me than the idea that he just made it up out of whole cloth. I think there's probably something along the lines of what he described actually happened at Werowocomoco. But here's the kicker. The archaeological record isn't going to allow us to sort this out one way or the other. So
right.
I'm just speculating.
Martin Galvin, an archaeologist at the College of William & Mary. And also, if that did happen as some type of ritual among those people, it would make clear to John Smith where he was on the totem pole. He was that a young girl could actually save his life.
That's right. When the Jamestown settlers arrived in the Chesapeake region, it was really Powhatan who controlled the field of affairs. Powhatan who determined what was going to happen. Powhatan who determined when the colonists would be provided with the corn that they desperately needed. So this event, if it was indeed an adoption ritual, sort of fits the mold of a political stratagem that this powerful leader put into place in order to impress the individual John Smith, who was obviously a leader of the Jamestown community.
Martin, give us an idea of what's going on out at the site right now and what you're looking at in the next season.
Well, the site is closed up for the season right now. We really focus our efforts in the summertime. In fact, I'm going to be taking a break from excavations this upcoming summer. We've found thousands of artifacts and learned a heck of a lot about the site. We need to pause. We need to interpret it. We need to write it up, get it out to the public. And that's what we're going to focus on next. Once we have a chance to regroup, to reflect upon what we've learned, we may be back out at the site doing additional excavations.
Now, hasn't there been some Native Virginians who've been involved in the research?
Yeah, we've had Native Virginians involved really from the beginning of the project. Actually, from before we even started, we recognized that this was a site of importance to lots of different communities, to the public in general, but also to the descendants of those who lived at Werowocomoco, to the descendants of the various Powhatan communities. So we went first to them, told them that we believed we'd found the village of Werowocomoco and that we wanted to investigate it, but we wanted to do so in close partnership with their communities. They were very appreciative of this, and they've been very supportive of the project ever since. We have an all-Native advisory board to the project. This past summer, we had actually four Pamunkey Indians participating in the excavations. And what I think is happening here is we're beginning to create a new generation of Native scholars who are going to be or are becoming very skilled archaeologists. And in the future, they'll be investigating Native sites probably with a different set of questions and priorities than the ones that I have. And I think that's fantastic.
Martin Galavan is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and an archaeologist at the College of William & Mary, and he's been heading up the research at Werowocomoco, the home village of Chief Powhatan. And Martin, I've really enjoyed talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Corey.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.